Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pitching In NPL Show, part two. Now, on Friday, we did our normal weekly show, and I thought to myself, instead of cramming in interviews with managers like we have done for previous seasons, I thought, why not just break them up into special little episodes throughout the week leading up to this weekend's first matches in the league season. So, welcome to part two of our unofficial season preview, which I invented over the weekend. On Monday's edition, we're going to be joined by Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United shortly, his counterpart at Scarborough Athletic, Darren Kelly. We've got Michael Clegg joining us two later from Ashton United, Paul Phillips at Matlock Town, and Lee Fowler from Radcliffe. But without further ado, let's kick things off with FC United of Manchester, and I caught up with their manager on Monday evening. Here's Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And first obvious question, how's pre-season been for yourself?
Ben, the boys report back, missed them all since the South Shields game on March the 20th. And it was uncertain times, you know, returning our bubbles and then, you know, getting the notification that we could return to, you know, full squad. But it's been good. You know, it's been good. But then we've had to cram in all the games and, you know, injuries and fatigue and all the things that come with it have been a part and parcel of pre-season, which is different from last year. But, you know, I won't complain because all I wanted to do was to return to normality. And we've got that. And, you know, we can't wait for this Saturday. You know, pre-season's gone. Well, come and gone. And, you know, we can't wait for this Saturday.
And the big news about this Saturday is the fact that obviously fans will be allowed in the stadium, and pre-season was a mixed bag with regards to that for obvious reasons. We started off behind closed doors, then a gradual coming back of people. For FC United and South Shields, we could throw Scarborough into the mix as well. That it's not going to be the biggest crowd that FC United have ever got, but still it's good considering the alternative.
It's difficult to put it into words, Ben, unless you've managed FC United or Scarborough or South Shields at all. It's hard to explain what the fans are like. I mean, I can only speak personally that I have the privilege of managing FC United, and you know, I walk out at 3 o'clock at Broadhurst Park on a Saturday afternoon, and you know the noise is electric, and it's something that I could never ever get bored of. And then all of a sudden, the government say that you know you can only have a certain percentage of your fans, and you know when we had the opportunity to play a couple of weeks ago, we had 600 fans there. You know, the 600 fans made a real effort to kind of make it as though there was 2,500 fans there. But, you know, you can't repeat that kind of noise and that experience that comes from it. But, you know, we go again this Saturday, and I'm sure we'll have 600, 700 fans, whatever it will be. And hopefully over time we can open the gates and, you know, get our crowds back to what they should be. But like I said, you know, when you manage a club of FC United stature, and you know you play at Broadhurst Park, and you walk out to the SMRE or the main stand paddock, there's nothing quite like it. And I for one just can't wait for them days to come back again.
Let's talk about recruitment then as well, because obviously the big question that a lot of Northern Premier League followers will be asking about FC United, and I'm sure you're fed up of being asked it, is how do you fill that void that Tunde Awolabi is leaving? Michael Fowler's come in on a season on loan. We've seen how that can work with Marcus Denanga a few seasons back at Matlock. What's the hope for this season when it comes to goal scoring at FC United?
Ben, listen, I could, you know, you could look at recruitment up and down the Northern Premier League. No player in this division, and I will categorically say it now, and I'll leave my words if I say, will score 35 goals for a club like Tunde Awolabi did. He was a freak of a year. You know, he was an absolute revelation. He'll go down in history for two reasons. One, because he scored all the goals that the season that wasn't, but also, you know, the season that was. He was unplayable at times. And, you know, Tunde got his move to Hamilton, and we were left with a void to kind of fill that. You know, every club, or you know, any club that loses the forward that scores that many goals, he's going to find it difficult to replace. But, you know, we have done. We've replaced him with Michael Fowler. For me, and this is a plea to the fans and to the club that, you know, not put pressure on Michael. He's a young boy. He's come on a 12-month deal from Fleetwood. He probably won't score 35, 36 goals this season, but he'll give us something different. And I've, you know, we've done a lot of work with Michael, and you know, I'm not going to say we've replaced Tunde, because I don't think he'll ever replace Tunde. He'll go down to FC United, but you know, for me, we believe that we've brought in a number nine that that will bring benefits to the team. And we also feel that the fans will fall in love with him. His work ethic is unbelievable. He'll score goals. He wants to play for the badge. He wants to play for the shirt. You know, I love him already. And, you know, I might be wrong. Listen, Michael Fowler might score 35 goals. I don't know. But there's no pressure from me to do that. He brings a lot more than goals to the team. He brings other people into play differently than what Tundy did. But obviously, as a supporter, you know, you look at your number nine scoring goals and, you know, will Michael do that? Who knows? But he'll do so many things in different ways.
And with regards to recruitment, other than that, I mean, there's a question I'm going to be asking a few managers on this week's show, because they all had to take their roles last season on the hoof, and this is their first pre-season. For yourself, I mean, this has been quite a steady pre-season when you compare it to the one previous to this. So has that been beneficial? There's a bit of consistency with the squad, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, if you think last season, we you know, I kind of released, what, 20 lads and... I brought a squad of 24, 25. I remember going out to Enfield and Lewis and, you know, we had a huge squad and the times were exciting and we had to narrow it down. But I think if you look at, as the season panned out last season, if you look at the retention list that we had, we've pretty much got everybody. You know, we've made some summer signings that haven't come to fruition for one reason or another. And that's part of parcel of football. You know, you never... And you can judge it on ability, but you've got to get to know the individual. I've got an exceptional group of lads in that dressing room that, you know, you not just ability wise, they buy into the ethos of FC United. And you've got to be really special to tap into that. So for me, you know, all we've lost last season is Tundy. We've added obviously Dan Labercombe's come in there now, Kane Dean at left back's come in there, Michael Fowler's come in there, Tom Stead's come in there. But the right type of players coming to our dressing room. But we've got a good side. You know, we've got a good side. We're going to go into our second season. There definitely won't be a second season syndrome, you know, from these boys. They're hungry. They want to do well. But we know we're up against it. We know we're in for a real, you know, a real competitive season when we look at the fixtures ahead. But we're ready. And I back my players, Ben.
And
I back them.
And with that regard, obviously, like you touched upon there, I mean, it's so competitive this year. The squads that are being assembled, it's quite ridiculous, really. What's your expectations about what FC United can achieve this season?
I mean, before my expectations, you know, I must say that I think a few chairmen or a number of chairmen up and down the leagues have looked at the COVID crisis and thought, this is our time, you know, so if we've got a little bit of money, we can go about our business and we can have a real go. But I don't think there's one or two chairmen have thought that. I think eight or nine chairmen have thought that. You know, I'm listening to the astronomical budgets that are being put about. And, you know, we know we're up against it. But, you know, FC United, we know what we are. You know, we've got the best fan base outside the Football League. I'll say that. We've got the best facility outside the Football League. And I can catch on to say that. And for us, we'll stay grounded. We can't wait to run out of Broadhurst Park. We know our objective this season. We know we finished second last season. But, you know, with all the spending power that's up against us, maybe they're the teams that other teams will raise the games against. Because I certainly know that when people come to Broadhurst Park, they raise the games because of FC United. Or maybe some of the other people have taken them answer this season. And, you know, for us, we'll just do our business and we'll see where we end up. But for me, as the first team manager and FC United, We have our objectives, and that's to win as many football games as we can do. See if we can win some silverware, see if we can get promoted. And if we can, we can. And if we can't, we can't. But we'll be doing everything we can do, Ben, to make that achievable this season.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Next up, let's go from Manchester to the North Yorkshire coast and to Scarborough Athletic and their manager Darren Kelly. Well, Darren, a big thank you for joining us. And first question, how's pre-season been for yourself?
To be honest, been very good. Picked up a couple of injuries, which is disappointing. But, you know, it's like everything. You know, pre-season is such a good time to recruit. Just unfortunate, obviously, with injuries, some key injuries in there. And hopefully they'll be back with the squad very soon. But apart from that, it's been very good. Tried different things, new challenges, and Yeah, well, the big thing is now ready for Saturday.
We mentioned it in our season preview show. Just, I think it was Kieran Waligi was the main focus.
Yes.
He was in our team of the year last year. Such a great season for Whitby and was quite a signing. And you know, that's quite a blow there, isn't it? I mean, how's his progress?
Well, again, it's coming along. It's going to be slow. He's probably going to miss most of the season, which I'm absolutely, you know, gutted for Kieran, because his attitude, everything is, you know, he's been so positive through the process. When you talk about a ruptured Achilles, you know, it's a 9-month injury, but he's been so positive through the process, and you know, his teammates and myself have been so positive for him as well, just to keep in high spirits, because he's such a competitor, and you know, a big loss to the team. But again, the other side, you know, we want to keep him involved and keep him around the place, because I think it's very, very important, you know, as I say, for the team that he's there with us, because you know, on the pitch, off the pitch, he's an absolutely superb character, and you know, hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yes, absolutely. And sending in my best wishes as well from everyone.
Yeah, will do.
And Darren, when it comes to recruiting elsewhere, then I mean, this is a pre-season with Scarborough. You didn't have one last year for obvious reasons. So how useful is this extended pre-season, let's call it? How useful has it been?
Different. Very, very different, I think. You know, it's been the same for every club. You know, you're trying to plan things, but you don't really know when you can plan for, when you can start pre-season, because everything was just very much up in the open. And again, it was a situation where, you tried the dates around when we'd be sort of starting back, but you just sort of had to manage it. You know, again, you couldn't train in big groups. There was lots of barriers that we had to overcome. But, you know, again, like most clubs, you know, we'd come in for a couple of days, maybe give it a breather just until we could sort of information of when we could really start. And to be fair to our players, have really looked after themselves. You know, they've been in great shape. They've had a lot of good minutes over pre-season. We had a very good game, challenging game on Saturday to sort of finish off the friendly games. And yeah, it's just a matter of getting ready and started. Just disappointing, as I say, we've lost a couple of key players. You know, Kieran Waligi, you have Isaac Asenso to add to that, who's going to be out for the season as well. You've Luke Porritt. So yeah, key players, but hopefully they'll be back fit and, you know, adding strength to the squad before the end of the season, ultimately.
And the other thing we have to mention as well, I mean, we've just heard from Neil Reynolds, and it's a question which we can ask of yourself as well with regards to supporters at Scarborough Athletic. There's a couple of exceptions who are going to be a bit hampered by the 600 capacity rule at the moment. But still, I'm imagining it's been great having them back in the stadium as well for these pre-season friendlies.
It's been unbelievable. It's been absolutely unbelievable, because, you know, I'm the type, especially in match days and things like that, home and away, especially at home, you know, you get around, you speak to them, you chat to them, and, you know, again, everything's so positive, you know, in terms of obviously getting back to the season and getting everybody back involved. And it's just a shame, because, you know, especially our home games, we get over 1,000 at the games, and I just feel for the ones who can't unfortunately attend. Hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get in non-league in general, we can start getting you know, our crowds back, because you know, they're just so important to all clubs in non-league. And you know, with ours, with such, and I'm sure every club will say the same, you know, such passionate supporters who want to get out and support their team. And you know, they've been superb, they've been helping the team away from it, and you know, events, and you know, raising monies for the club. And like everything, it's, you know, we can only have 600 in for the games, and hopefully, you know, in no time we can get them back to full capacity, because at the end of the day, you know, non-league without supporters is it's just not right, you know.
No, it's not. I was going to add, though, I mean, we're coming to the first weekend of the season, and we've spoke to a few managers about recruitment and that side of things.
Yeah.
And like we've touched upon here, there's a couple of unfortunate injuries that's hampered things for your preparations. With the conference and Step 2 starting a bit later, are you still on the lookout for signings eventually?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Always on the lookout. Well, we'll have two that'll come in this week. And again, still working to get a third in. Yeah, but everything will go probably, as I said before, on record. You know, it'll probably even go to the last sort of, well, when we can, as such, Saturday morning, you know, to go to the last day. You know, that's how proactive, you know, you have to be. You know, again, many managers will tell you the same thing. It's, you know, you're always in the lookout. You're always trying to better what you have. You know, a player could be recommended, or a player could get in touch who's not linked to a club, or and you always have to be proactive that way. But we're always looking. But I think, you know, we're looking very strong at the moment. But, you know, still a little, you know, one or two, I suppose, areas we just like to strengthen more. And it's more so to add just value in these areas, you know, good healthy competition. So, as I say, we'll be going up until, you know, Saturday. We'll be trying to get that one last signing in. But hopefully in the next day or two, we'll have two more.
Ah, good stuff. And with regards to the season to come, obviously with Scarborough, it was, I think if the season carried on, it would have been a hell of an achievement, but I wouldn't have put it past you to get into the playoffs. But we just kind of ran out of road towards the end. What, now you've had a pre-season under your belt, given everything else that's going on around the league at the moment, what's your expectations, what Scarborough can achieve this year?
Do you know what? I suppose just do the best we can. You know, I've made no secret. I know what we can. I know what we need in terms of getting out of this league. You know, but the problem you have now is, you know, you have a like of, you know, some teams are just throwing money at things. But obviously the bigger picture and within that is, you know, getting teams to gel. If you're going to go out and spend lots of money, okay, key players. But, you know, can they mix in a group? And, you know, the way I do things, yeah, I'd like to think I recruit well. I know the league well enough. I know the players that we sort of need to add strength and value to the team. And we do everything proper from a tactical point to, you know, preparing for games and everything. So, yeah, we're ready to do the very best we can. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of good sides in there. You know, as you speak about Renault, FC will be strong. If South Shields, Hyde will be strong. You know, there's a lot of really good teams. There's a lot of good, healthy competition. And it'll be tight at the top. And I just hope and the belief I have in the squad that we can definitely challenge.
And final question, Darren. It all kicks off again this weekend. Atherton Coles away. How much are you looking forward to it? A bit of competitive action in the league?
Can't wait. You know, it's when you look at it. That's what, you know, when you look at a couple of weeks ago when the friendly or the games were announced and everything, you're just then you're starting to put your plan in. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't look past the first game and do my preparation, everything in and around that. But you just look at the fixtures and then you start to sort of plan things and see things and, you know, do your due diligence into the opposition you're playing. As I say, Atherton being that, you know, on Saturday. So we'll do everything we can, the preparation. The players have been superb, their attitudes, you know, their work ethic. And they're all itching for it as well. You can see Saturday's performance against a good, strong Darlington team that, you know, there's many different aspects of learning we like in pre-season. You know, yes, get the fitness levels and everything up, but also the mentality thing. You know, you look at when you go goals down, how you react. I think that was one of the things when I first came in last season, I thought was disappointing as such. You know, the team would go a goal down and their heads would drop, or the team away from home had a psychological barrier, you know, just little things like that. That, you know, I believe we've overcome these obstacles. So, but like everything, the time will tell when the league starts on Saturday, and hopefully the next time we have a chat that, things are very good.
Darren Kelly there, manager of Scarborough Athletic, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Let's go back from Yorkshire, back to Greater Manchester now and to Ashton United. Michael Clegg has had his first pre-season under his belt now at Hurst Cross, and I caught up with Michael on Monday afternoon. Hey, well, Michael, big thank you for joining us. And first, obvious question, how's the close season been?
We've been a bit of a weird one, obviously. I'm no different to all the other managers in the league where, you know, are we starting, are we not going to start? And early doors, you have a plan, and then, you know, it's just been a bit strange, especially we're straight on the borders of Oldham as well, where there've been a couple of lockdowns. So it's been tough, but in terms of getting on the pitch and doing the football, that's been the easy bit. It's been everything around it what's been a bit hard work, to be honest.
And it's obviously there's not many positives at all with regards to the last 8 months or so. But how beneficial has it been for yourself to have an extended close season and, you know, get into the pre-season the way Ashton have done when you consider you had to hit the ground running midway through last season? Is there any benefit to what's gone on here?
Yeah, it's football over the last 6 or 7 years. It's been 100 mile an hour for me. So firstly, you know, I was able to put a lot of time into my business and my family, which obviously for a lot of managers at this level comes second sometimes, without meaning to. So that's been really good. Got to know a lot of the people and the volunteers at Ashton and my players a bit more, and been able to do a lot more work on the pitch. And I think now, you know, we are looking like a team of mine rather than a team I inherited who, with a load of lads on contract who kind of we had to keep. So it's been good. I've really enjoyed it. I'm just looking forward to get going now, really.
Yes, absolutely. And when it comes to how the squad's shaping up for the new season, how's recruitment been?
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, we've brought in quite a few. We brought in two new centre-halves in complete different ends of the spectrum. Michael Raines, who just shot 500 games as a pro in the leagues. So he's come in and he's just been fantastic to have around the place. His enthusiasm for football is still as infectious as ever. So that's been massive for us. And then we brought a really young, promising centre-half in Sam Bird from Trafford, who sweeps up at their end-of-season awards. And he had a deal on the table from Altrincham. And then the promotion kind of scuppered that. I think if they'd have stayed in the Conference North, he'd have been a big player for them. But so we'd ended up speaking to him, just say we're going to go there, decided come to us. And we've been really, really shocked with kind of how good Sam is, to be honest. We know we're good, and when you watch a player, you only see certain things, but it's just all the other side of it, you know, how humble he is, how hard working he is. He's really good on the ball, and so that's been good for us. And then we've brought in obviously Jake Cottrell from Chorley. Pre-season didn't start so great with Jake. He broke his toe in the first session because obviously when we get the balls out, there's no love lost anyway. So he broke his toe, but now he's starting to really fire. Brought in Millie Alley from South Shields, and Tom Bentham from Aberton Coles, and Brad Lynch, who had a few clubs last season, but we've worked with him before. And we just wanted to add some goals and some legs to our team. And I know that sounds really easy, but it's not that easy to do. But I think in pre-season we've scored a few goals, and they have come from everywhere, because last year we was heavily reliant on Josh Wilson, and we couldn't go into this season like that again. Wouldn't have been fair on Josh, and it definitely wouldn't have been fair on the club.
Well, I was looking at your starting lineup against Earlham from a couple of weeks ago, and in that lineup you've still got Hardcastle, Rowney, Brewster, Lefudu, Hartley, and like you say, you've added to it with the likes of Bird and Cottrell as well. So what's your expectations for the season? Because it looks like a pretty good starting 11, in all fairness.
The squad's brilliant, you know. And I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because I think, like, in the last few years when we've won the league with Coles, we never set out thinking we're going to win the league. You just set off on a journey and hope to give it your best and kind of see where it takes you. And you can start kind of having another look at that around Christmas or the end of January type. We just thought we have a better year than last year, which on paper shouldn't be that hard to do with how dreadful it was. But then at the end of it, I think we'd won 9-11 or 9-12 or something, and we were really firing. So we want to continue on that form. We want to be harder to beat, and we wanted to be fitter. And obviously we want to finish as high up, but you're in a league where you've just got so many good sides. And then, you know, like with where Buxton was last year and then signings they've made, there's someone who are going to be higher up than before. And then you've got Matlock, who are not going to be down there like last year. And it's just a tough, tough league. So I think if you're going to go and start sticking predictions in and that, you're going to be master of your own downfall, because a lot of managers at our level, they want to do well. They listen to all the interviews. They come watching games. And if a manager starts shouting from treetops early doors, he's going to be the one they all want to get. So that definitely won't be me.
Excellent news, yes.
But yeah, we just hope we can be as competitive as ever and finish as high up as we can, and with the squad and with the talent we've got. I don't see why we couldn't do that. But at the same time, in this league, if you lose a game, the next game looks very losable. And if you win a game, the next game looks very winnable. So it's just about finding that balance and consistency, staying clear of injuries and suspensions and all that kind of stuff. And we'll just see where we go. But we are in a good place.
And with regards to recruitment, is that you done now or are you still on the lookout? Because we keep highlighting it because it is a real phenomenon, this. The conference and the National League North starting a bit later, that means there's a lot more trialists in the system somewhere. So are you still on the lookout or...?
You're dead right. I mean, if you ask me now, I'm happy. But obviously, you're getting it. We've got a couple of lads coming in training with us this week who we never thought would be available, and they're very good footballers, you know. So, I mean, it's just how it is at this level. And sometimes it would be good if we had a transfer window because you could kind of shut it up and you could get on with what you've got. But at this level, so many good players come available. And for us managers, it's sometimes difficult to turn them away, but I've never really been a manager who has a revolving door where people are coming and going. I like to build a dressing room. We like to build relationships. We like to get consistency. And I just think when my lads have worked so hard and had so many good results in pre-season, you know, you question how quick you could kill yourself if you just kind of rip that up a week before the season. So for me, there won't be any mad change over the next month. I don't know. One may come in. We literally don't know. But as it stands, we're more than happy with what we've got.
And that form you're taking to Stafford Rangers this Saturday. How much are you looking forward to that and seeing where you're up to?
I can't wait for it. Obviously, it's first game of the season, so everyone's chomping at the bit to get going. I think luckily for us, we got that out of the way on Saturday because we played Squires Gate in the FA Cup and, you know, with all the hyper pre-season, your new kits, lads rocking up in the new tracksuits and all that kind of stuff. And we've done that now. So, like, Saturday, the focus on football. And this week, I felt like it was all on other things, you know, just getting to that first competitive game in 6 months. There was a load of talk around it, but that's done and it's out of the way and we can just focus on Stafford now, which is going to be a very good test because Jody's a very good manager. Got John Welsh, who's gone in there as a good mate of mine. And I can't see Stafford finishing where they did last year as well. So there's going to be big improvements from them. It's any tough, any game, first game's difficult, especially being away from home. So they've had a really good pre-season, we have. So I think that could be one of the good games of the day, if I'm being honest.
And when it comes to playing in front of crowds again, they've started filtering through now. What's your message to that Ashton United supporters base as we head into this new campaign?
Well, we just obviously want to put a team on the pitch who they can be proud of. You know, they've had some great times over the last few years and we'd love to bring that back. And we just want to be a fast, exciting team who scores goals. You know, I know that's what every manager wants, but I believe with some of the players that we've got, we can be that now and just be a little bit more difficult to beat. And hopefully get a few wins early doors and win momentum in this game. Who knows where it can go? But for us right now, it's just feet on the ground. Just keep working hard, keep being humble and just take each game as it comes.
Michael Clegg there, manager of Ashton United, joining us here on the MPL show. Next up on this week's show, let's go from Ashton United to Radcliffe, just across the way, and Lee Fowler. Lee Fowler, like Michael Clegg, has now had a pre-season at his club. And to find out how pre-season has gone at Radcliffe, I caught up with their manager, Lee Fowler, on Monday afternoon.
It's been fantastic in terms of togetherness and sort of building a mentality within the club. And obviously the results have been good. We only lost once in pre-season and, you know, we were averaging 3 goals a game and conceding 1. So we're on the right route, mate, but, you know, the reality is the real work starts on next Saturday against Buxton.
Yes, absolutely. And with regards to how busy you've been during the close season, been a fair few departures, but also some really good signings coming in as well. So how pleased were you with the blend of the dressing room?
Brilliant. To be fair, I started the recruitment when I first took over the job in February time. I knew the type of people I wanted. I knew the people I wanted out of the club. They did have to be a big turnover because they wanted my players. You know, they've done really well for Frank and John, but not so good for, you know, the previous regime before me. So and sometimes it's better to have a clean slate and, you know, I know what type of people I'm looking to bring into the club. It's not necessarily the football player first. It's more how good the person is. So we've recruited well, mate. You know, everybody seems to be thinking we're spending massive money. which is ridiculous. But what it does say is a compliment to me and my staff that we brought in very good football players and people are talking about them.
On our previous show last week, Berkey said something about Radcliffe this season. How optimistic are you of hitting the ground running and really making a splash this year?
Well, the good thing and the bad thing in this league is I think everybody can beat everybody. You know, we beat Chester 3-1, we beat Chorley 3-1. You know, we won't fear any team. They'll have the confidence to go and beat them. I don't think there's a national team to fear this season. I know Buxton are spending very big money. South Shields will always be good, but ultimately, you know, FC look like they've had a struggling pre-season, so Baseford as well. And I think it's there for anyone, really. I think every team will fancy them chances to get in that top five. We don't put any targets on in a promotion or playoffs. All we've said is we're going to win lots of games of football, and if we don't win, we're trying not to lose. So that's the mentality we're going in with this season.
Yes, absolutely. And with that regard, obviously, that, like you've touched upon here, I mean, up at the top end of the table, there's so many squads who've really looked like they're going to be contenders this season. And we have to remember, up until Christmas, Radcliffe were in that mix, weren't they? So, I mean, it's not beyond our realms of possibility, given the squad you've created, that you can get yourself certainly in and around the playoffs, that's for sure.
No, 100%. Anyone could. You look at Leicester. You know that when they went and won the Premier League, in terms of the golf, in terms of the riches, that you know they should never have been nowhere near at the top of the league. But they did. They were. They obviously all done really well together. What it is, all you need is a good start. Get a great start. You're already up there already. The teams who are losing are always chasing their tails. Have a good little Christmas and then finish strong, and you'll always be up that top half of the table. Obviously, with Radcliffe last season, had a fantastic start. And then they lost, I think, about six games on the bounce. And obviously, the new managers come in, they lost another seven. And all of a sudden, you're looking over your shoulder rather than being in the playoffs. So football at this level could change so quickly. Every team have done well. It seems like everyone's recruiting well. You've got people dropping down from leagues or the conference or step two. And it shows how good the step threes getting now. And it'll be a good season. And as I said on Saturday, wherever you're meant to be, you'll be meant to be. If you do well, you'll be at the top. If you do poor, you'll be at the bottom. And that's where you're meant to be.
And with regards to recruitment, there's still a question mark around players who are still on trial up in National League and Step 2 of non-league football. Is that your recruitment done and dusted now, or are you still on the lookout for the odd addition?
No, we were done within 2 weeks into the start of pre-season. I think if you've looked over pre-season, there's a lot of people panicking in our league in terms of managers, getting rid of players, bringing players in. Now, for me, you believe in the people you've brought in, so you haven't even kicked the ball, they've already left the football club. So I believe in my players. That's the reason I went out my way to go and get them. You know, I handpicked the players I wanted, and only one player is left, and I has to go on loan to get some minutes because he hasn't played much. So, I'll keep the same group. Unless any injuries, that's the only way I'll be looking to improve if I have any injuries.
And for you personally as well, obviously you came in towards the back end of last season, and the main goal was to steady the ship, wasn't it? How good is it to have had a pre-season and shape this dressing room the way you have done, and now can sit back with hopes being high the way they are?
Yeah, definitely. I come into a horrendous situation in terms of the weather delayed four games. Obviously, then COVID come in, and obviously the club lost big, big characters. You know, your Warburtons, your Princes, your Metcalfs. And the club was in a little bit of a free fall, if I'll be honest with you. And possibly, if it weren't for me coming in, they possibly could have got relegated purely because of how it was. And, I come into that sort of the Scarborough game or the Gainsborough game. And, I knew I was going to get beat because of the atmosphere around the club. But then, obviously, we drew against Nantwich, we drew against Whitby. I was slowly getting my grip on my way of working, and then that's where you start your recruitment. As soon as it was done, let's get the people in, let's get the right people in around me who all want to work hard. They're all at this level for a reason, by default, by age, by attitude, application. Some of my players have played higher up in the leagues, in the football league, but they are where they are now, and we all got to buy in together that, listen, without us all working together to be better, one of us will get a reward for it. So if one of my players go into the Football League or a level up or two levels up, it's because we've all bought into something that, we call our teams, we call our team the Misfit and the Cowboys, because everyone seems to have some sort of issue in terms of, reason why where they are. But it works for us. We buy into it as the underdogs, and that's what we're going to use this season.
And first game is a really intriguing one for my money. Buxton against Radcliffe this coming Saturday. What's your take on this game? And because of the COVID situation, I suppose every game's a must win, really, because we don't know how long this is all going to last for. So how important is it to hit the ground running this coming Saturday?
Yeah, of course. I've had them watched. We watched the video when they played Chorley. We watched them versus Chester. You know, they played 4-3-3. And Saturday, I think there was a little bit of mind games going on because they played 4-4-2, 4-3-3, and then they finished with 5-3-2. What I would say is they've recruited well. Ultimately, it's down to how they... So I believe Buxton will win games on their own for the players individually. I think they'll be winning because of the talent they've brought in. So that will be in terms of which Buxton turn up. And some good managers in our league who are very astute and tactically well. So you've just got to pick their weaknesses and exploit them. And then obviously negate their strengths. So, but listen, they've got some good players. They've cherry-picked a lot of players in around us in our league and the league above. Lads cross the line, it's man v man. So, you know, budget's got out the window. And they've just got to fight to win a game of football.
And final question really then, when it comes to how excited Radcliffe fans should be, like you said, this is a Lee Fowler squad. So how excited should Radcliffe fans be for the season to come?
Well, the feedback we've had from them has been brilliant already, saying it's the best football they've seen. You know, the hardest working team they've seen. But for me, I don't buy into all that sort of, you know, the best football, you know, I know it's a product and entertainment, but you know, the minimum they're going to get out of my team is hard work, honesty and desire. And I've said, if the lads give me this every single week and the fans are paying £10 a week to go watch them, they're going to get value for money. You know, we will play football because that's how I want to play football, but ultimately I'll be judged on winning games of football. So no matter how hard they work, if we win 1-0 and you know they haven't worked dead hard, the fans are going to go home happy anyway. So ultimately, I'll be judged on first and foremost his results, and then secondly will be, you know, hard work. Thirdly, jointly will be entertainment, the style of play.
Lee Fowler there, manager of Radcliffe, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. That's nearly it for this week's NPL show, but just before we go, there's just enough time for one last interview, and that takes us to Derbyshire now and to Matlock Town and another manager who's had his first pre-season at his club. And to find out how pre-season has gone at Causeway Lane, I caught up with Paul Phillips on Monday afternoon. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the NPL show. How's the close season been?
Long.
Yeah,
boring. probably like everyone else, but no, it has been what it has been. Football took a back seat, we know that. Obviously, normality wasn't there. And for me, obviously, it's a massive hit because of what's going on. And obviously, you're used to getting up on a Saturday, Tuesday, or whenever it is, and then playing football, managing football, or being involved in some sort of game. It just wasn't there, was it? But it was necessary at the time. Obviously, people's health come before anything, and then obviously hope we can get back to a bit of normality now, which we are doing slowly but surely.
And with regards to how pre-season's gone and that kind of thing, it's been a very difficult pre-season for everyone, really, because of the long layoff. How have you found getting players back to training and that kind of thing?
It's been okay, to be honest. We didn't have an injury for 4 or 5 weeks, and then we had 3 or 4 in the space of 7 days last week. And ironically, went before going into the FA Cup game, or being midfielders. I think we're going to find that. I think when you've had a layoff of 4 or 5 months, is it? And you try and break people in, and we're playing Saturday, Tuesday, and it takes its toll on the body till you get back to your body knowing that your demands that it's going to have week in and week out.
And with that regard, when it comes to how the squad's shaping up for the new season, and I've seen on social media, you've still got some irons in the fire, as it were, with some signings coming in this week. So how's the squad shaping up heading into the new season?
It was good. Like I said to all the people, I just don't want to bring all the people in for willy-nilly, but certain individuals haven't done what I thought they would. Obviously, losing Callum Tippendale, who has been our best midfielder throughout pre-season, a massive blow last week. Obviously, we're on the lookout now to bring an attacking player in that's going to hopefully score us 20, 30 goals, as probably every other manager is at our level and level above. But we've got to keep trying. I think the problem we've had this year is we normally start after the conference and the conference north, but with it being a vice versa this year, you don't want to fill out your bases because obviously the better players are trialling at higher levels or in the league even sometimes now that they may fall down, and you just don't want to start fill in the voids if you are going to get better players 2 or 3 weeks down the line.
Yeah, and it's weird, this, isn't it? Because you're not the first manager to say this about the effects of the conference starting later and step two starting later. I was expecting the market to be a bit more fluid in a way, you know, given the COVID situation and that. But, you know, this league's just gone up several notches, hasn't it? And with the conference situation as well. I mean, how difficult is the transfer market at the moment?
It's massively difficult, obviously. Financial restrictions apart from a few clubs in our league, obviously financial restrictions are obviously come into it because obviously the club hasn't made any revenue over the last 4 or 5 months with all its facilities being shut down. I think if you look at all the clubs that maybe got a financial backer that's going in and giving that back in, I think it obviously gives them the way forward in the market because they can go out there and maybe splash a bit more cash than we can. But that didn't always say that you are going to be a better team or more successful on the pitch. You've got to make sure you do it wisely. Well, it's an hard market at the moment in the scenario of getting the right players to come in to the club at the right time.
And with that regard, when it comes to the season ahead, it's going to be such a competitive season. How do you think Matlock are shaping up, given as well as, you know, you've got some recruitment to do as well in the next week or so? What's your hopes for this season ahead?
I think it's going to be a building process. As I said, and I've said before, I think I've said to yourself, other people, I always try and aim as high as possible. If that means winning the league, getting the playoffs, we always try and aim as high as possible. We finished third bottom last year, like I've said to other people, and there's no disrespect gone to any previous manager or previous regimes. For me, the club's not been kicked on anyway for the last 5-6 years. With the budget I walked into last year and how much we were getting spent, then we should have been a hell of a lot farther up the league. But again, it shows that the money aspect doesn't always bring out success. But I feel like we've got a competent squad, a good backbone. Obviously, losing one or two, including John Stewart now, who's obviously out for a couple of weeks. Callum Chippledale is another that's going to be out for a while. So I think we had a good 11, 12 players that's now going out and making sure we can reinforce that 11, 12 and hopefully bring a few loans in our key players in along the way as they come available.
And it seems like an obvious question, this, but how much more beneficial is it to have this pre-season under your belt heading into a new season rather than having to hit the ground running midway through the season like you did last year?
I think it's key. I think it's key. Everyone will tell you when you go into a club and you can start bringing your own players in and try and start putting your own mark on it. It does take a while, no matter what you say. But you know where you're going with things. You can analyse and you're not sort of copying for someone else's players and maybe not doing the style of play. You can make sure that they're fit to do what they want. They want the intensity on the pitch and obviously also what we try and instill is obviously how they behave off the pitch and how they come in the club after the game and make sure that speak to fans, communicate with them because they pay the money and they're the ones that are keeping in wages. So for me, it gives you that balance that you can bring players in that you've got an all-round system and an all-round attitude that we know we can take forward.
And how good was it to see fans back again? Because obviously, I don't know whether you started pre-season behind closed doors like my club did, but that was weird, wasn't it? But
it was awful.
Yeah, when the fans come back in, though, how good's that?
Great. I think we had 500-600 on a couple of weeks back, and obviously had quite a few on Saturday in the FA Cup. So it just, for me, and I've said it over the summer, I think non-league got sort of looked at in a bad light. I think it's the easiest thing that you can segregate. You can go to a non-league ground and socially distance easier than anywhere else than going to a restaurant, to a pub. So for me, we took a back seat until high-profile people started speaking up about it. It was sort of downtrodden for quite a while. And I think until it's come to the forefront, I think it was going on a bad area because I think the professional game were looking after themselves as they normally do. And the non-league game was sort of getting put in the past and putting in a corner where we knew that a lot of teams and unfortunately draws in other teams have gone out of business. So, but having fans and spectators and it's what it's all about. Obviously the atmosphere. I feel that obviously I go to all the Premier League grounds, but the atmosphere at non-league grounds when you get 500 in or 600 in is people behind the goal or people down the dugout shouting at you. That's what it's all about. Having a bit of rivalry, a bit of banter, and I feel like it's a better place for it.
And you mentioned the fans behind the goal as well. We do have to mention, during a pre-season game, you went back in net. How was that?
It was all right playing. It was the 3 days after the corner. I needed flowering out. It was an hard one. It was an hard one because I've not played for a while. I'm not in the shape I was. And unfortunately, lockdown didn't treat you very well, does it? But it was good. It was good. To be fair, the best thing about it was, as I said on the day, that you get a better perspective and understanding of your team, and you get a different perspective of on the pitch. I did it with Stephen Arthur for many years, playing for Ashton, Gosford, all the team, but I played in there, and I might be small in stature, but my gob's quite big, so it was good just to have another look and see where we can improve from an angle, not just out the dugout.
And have you been in touch with the secretary and registered yourself for this season, just in case?
You know what, believe it or not, this is how bad it was. He chased me around the ground on Saturday to get me to sign a farm. There's absolutely no chance in this world that I'm playing. The worst thing about it was, I'd had three goalkeepers for the past three games in pre-season. But because Stewie was coming back, I said to him, go and get some minutes under your belt at various teams. And Stewie can play the 90 minutes rather than dragging him right across. And beggars belief, after 40 minutes, Stewie goes down, got to come off, and to go in net. So it won't happen again any sooner.
Well, there we go. You heard it here first. And final question then, Paul. We've mentioned, you know, the close season and how preparations are going. How much are you looking forward to take on Bamber Bridge this weekend?
Massive, yeah. Obviously, again, it all kicks off. Come at you quick. Obviously, we've got Saturday, Tuesday, all the way through, more or less, the first 5 or 6 weeks, which is great. It's great. If you don't win on a Saturday, you can start putting right on a Tuesday. Or if you do win on a Saturday, you can hopefully keep the run going on a Tuesday, and I find it very good to obviously do. But it'd be a tough game. Jamie Milligan got a good team there, plays football the right way. Always a fantastic footballer, a great lad. So I look forward to it, going there with doing the right things through this week, training. We're not playing to tomorrow or Thursday, so we'll train and then hopefully pick up 3 points going into Saturday. But it'd be no easy task because he's got a very good team there.
Paul Phillips, manager of Matlock Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this edition of the Pitching In NPL show. We'll be back in a couple of days or so with yet more interviews with managers as we head towards the start of the Pitching In NPL Premier Division season. But in the meantime, remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website thenpl.co.uk. A big thank you to Neil, Darren, Paul, Michael and Lee for joining me on this edition of the Pitching In NPL show. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all stay safe, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. Bye-bye.